Now we come to the gospel, and we see clearly the theme of obedience and the consequences. You know, the Lord doesn't give suggestions. He gives commands. Now, some of these commands are, you know, but you can certainly see from what we hear today, what we have are the last lines of the Sermon on the Mount. First a warning, and then a parable. The one who hears my words and does them, you see, he's like a man who built his house on a rock. And I'll try to explain that. But you see, it's really powerful. Who is this Jesus that he can say, your life will either crash or stay, depending on whether you keep my word? That's pretty powerful. You know, someone once said about the Ten Commandments, they're not 10 suggestions, you know. Our Lord's teaching is not optional. Another point which will come up, you know, because it says, didn't we prophesy, didn't we drive out demons, didn't we do miracles? Well, the charisms don't contribute to salvation. That's a mistake. Everyone, it says in Corinthians, everyone is given a manifestation of the Spirit, eis symphoron, for a noble purpose, for building up the body. Everyone, you see, ekasto, to everybody is given this manifestation, this phanerosis of the Spirit, of eis symphoron. It means the common good, but it means more than that. It means to build up for a noble purpose, that sort of notion. So nobody can say I'm not a charismatic if Corinthians says to everyone is given a gift, charisma. Everyone's got them. What happened to the charismatic renewal, through a gift of faith, they came alive again. But there's no specialists. I've been in the renewal, as you probably most of you know, since almost the beginning, since 68. And we used to be called the Pentecostal movement in the early days. And we thought, no, we don't want to do that. It'll make it look like we're leaving the church or something. So we changed it to charismatic movement, which was a good idea. But only if you realize that the role of the charism dimension of the movement is to get lost in the church. Everybody has charisms. That's the teaching of Vatican II. It's not mine. It's right there in Vatican II in Lumen Gentium. If I had thought, I would have brought the text. But anyway. So what he's saying is, but you can do these things and not do the will of my Father. That's the danger. But if I look at how many, look at the saints. What charisms they had. Prophecy, healing, knowing things, reading hearts, energy to build big things, which is a gift, you know, as a magnanimity. It's a gift. I know somebody who decided, he's a Presbyterian, started reading the Fathers of the Church and decided everybody should listen to hear the Fathers of the Church. So he got together a group and we went through and collected the sayings of the Fathers on every passage in the New Testament and then on every passage in the Old Testament. I mean, there's a whole big team of people. I did Acts, somebody else did 1 Corinthians and so forth. But to take on a project like that, see it through, it's done, all the books are published in record time, that's a gift. Keep it in F's, administration. And more than that, magnanimity. Take on big projects. But they're for everybody. But so is healing. As Paul says, the one gift that builds up the one gifted more than anybody else is the gift of tongues. And he says, you know, when you're together, yeah, a little bit of tongues, but prophecy, because prophecy builds everybody up. Okay. All I'm trying to say is, if you are faithful to your gift, you will arrive at sanctity, because you will be led more and more. Classic example, somebody with the gift of healing. Do you know how tiring that is? How many people come to talk to you because they want to talk to you? No, they want to talk to you for 5 minutes, then will you heal me? That's tough. You need to be a saint to live that. And so the gifts bring you to sanctity. And everybody has them. Nobody can say, I'm not a charismatic. They can say, I don't pray in tongues, because Paul says that too. Do all pray in tongues? No. But you have a gift. To each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit. And to the priesthood, the gift of reading hearts, that's what goes on in confession. The gift of prophecy. The gift of pronouncing the word. These are gifts, and we should pray for them, because they are God's way of building up the body. I put that first because the Lord is going to talk about the abuse of it, but that's all that's quoted sometimes. So I'm not trying to cut the Lord off at the pass. I'm just trying to show you. Now this is what he says. Said to his disciples, not everyone who says to me, Kyrie, Kyrie, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. And the word there is pein, makes, what it means does to. Hopin to terema tu patros mu, you see, who's in heaven, my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name? And I will declare to them solemnly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. But didn't I build the best parking lot in the diocese? Didn't I have the best fundraising? Didn't I have the most efficiently run parish? I never heard of you. Unless you're doing the will of my Father. Pretty clear, isn't it? I can't decide what's going to impress Jesus or the Father. You know, we do this. In the souk in Jerusalem, you want, you want some sandals. And so you say, have you got any sandals? No, but I've got these shoes and you'll love them. You see? We do that to God. Obey me. You see? No, but I'll do this and you'll love it. He won't. Unless we're doing the will of the Father. Now, he's not going to keep that a secret, since our eternal salvation depends on it. We're going to know it. In general, through the teaching of the church, through the scriptures, through the tradition, we know that. But also in our own lives, this is the way, walk in it. You see? So many will say, you see, didn't we prophesy, drive out demons, do mighty works? And I will say, I never heard of you. I never knew you. Now, we find the same teaching in 1 John. In this we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We went through this because it was part of a reading some weeks ago. We ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. If someone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart to him, how does the love of God abide in him? It doesn't. You see, we've made the practice of the Catholic faith optional and private, and it's neither. You got to make an impact if you're a believer. Little children, let us not love by word and speech, but in deed and truth. And in this we will know that we are of the truth. But to love in truth means to love based on the revelation of the Father and reassure our hearts before him. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. You see? And it goes on in the part that I don't have here. To have this world's goods and close your heart. How is the love of God in such a person? Remember when we did that a couple weeks ago. Brethren, let us not love in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. And in truth means in a way that reveals the Father. Now, our Lord is saying, you see, if you don't do my Father's will, all these other gifts are not going to profit you anything. But if you do, they will be your eternal glory. If you practice them with humility and energy, even when you're tired, suppose you have the gift of preaching, you're exhausted, and they say, "Would you?" Yeah, well, you got to. Gift of healing. See, the gifts, to strive to have the gifts perfect, leads you to sanctity. To just practice the gifts, you know, and build up your ego, leads to, "Depart from me, I never heard of you." So it's pretty important. Now we have this beautiful parable. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them is like a wise man, will be like a wise man, who built his house on rock. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house. But it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. Now, you see, over there in Palestine, just below the surface, there are sheets of rock. I mean, you know, big sheets, 30, 50 feet. If you've got to build a house, you've got to find that rock. If you build in the sand, you see, so you first have to take a bar and, you know, and find the rock. Well, some of it's jutting right out from the soil, so it's not that mysterious. But is it big enough, strong enough to hold a house? Then you clear away the sand with the dirt and you build a house. That will last. But everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them is like a wise man. But everyone who listens to these words and doesn't act on them will be like a fool. You heard me tell you the way to heaven. You heard me warn you, cajole you, encourage you, not only through the scriptures, but in your heart. And you went on, even if you're raising the dead, a few do both, but you know, you've got to obey me. I am the Word of God incarnate. These are not suggestions. These are my instructions on how to please the Father and arrive at eternal life with us. And you better do them. You see? I accent that because, well, you know, we talk about mortal sin and venial sin. So if I don't turn the other cheek, is that a venial sin? Yeah, it's probably venial. But enough venial sins, and pretty soon you are so vulnerable to mortal sin that you've had it. And so it says here, you see, the rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it was collapsed and was completely ruined. So then the choice is, you see, are we going to build our house on the rock or on the sand? To build on the rock means to do what Jesus said. In other words, in his own way, Jesus is saying, I set before you life and death, just like Moses. You see? It's the same thing as Moses. Here it is. I set it before you. Now choose. Are you going to obey me? Are you going to do the will of my Father? Or are you not going to do the will of the Father? And he takes an extreme example. Somebody with great charismatic gifts, going on and on and on, but not doing the will of my Father. And so, that's the message for this Sunday.